Hello and welcome to the TCF Morning Show. It is Thursday, September 16th, and this morning I am joined by Boomy at Boomy TCF and Matt Schoolfield at schools underscore 01 on Twitter. I am Zach Lilia at Z Lilia TCF. The main page is at typical underscore Chicago. If you want to follow us on Facebook or Instagram, just type in typical Chicago fans. You will find us on there. Go over to YouTube, type in typical Chicago fans, subscribe to the YouTube page. All of our morning shows, podcasts, interviews, food reviews, all on there. And then wherever you get your podcast from, please subscribe, rate, and review. If it's on Apple, if it's anywhere else, please just type in typical Chicago fans. You will find us on their shout to Connect Roasters. Go over to connectroasters.com. You will find all of your coffee needs on there. They also have some merchandise on there. So go and check that out. Check that out at connectroasters.com. Like I said, I love the coffee. My mother loves the coffee. We've had Caleb on the show. We've had Ian Happ on the show. So if you want to get some Connect Roasters coffee, go over to connectroasters.com and follow them on all social medias. We love them. Thank you to Connect Roasters. But, fellas, how are we doing?
Doing great, man. Weekend's right around the corner. Lots of football. And on week two of the NFL and three of college football. So, right?
We got college football. We got NFL. It's a great time to be alive. I mean,
postseason baseball is right around the corner.
That's true. That's true. But I would love a little bit of a little Tuesday, Wednesday, maybe football.
Oh yeah. Give me some action.
But Maddie, how we doing?
Good. Good. We got, like you said, good weekend of football ahead. A lot of good games in the NFL. I'm sure we're going to dive into here in the next couple of days, and good college slate too, so should be another good weekend.
Yeah, unfortunately, this will be Maddie's last show here for a little bit because he's having a little reconstruction to his house. Maddie, are you excited for it?
We'll see. I'll check back in when everything is done here in the bathroom and everything.
We will. But let's get into the subjects right now. The Bears. The Bears lose to the Rams 34-14. Justin Fields, he got his first touchdown, rushing touchdown. He got in maybe, four or five times. I don't know what to think of this game because you see a little bit of Andy Dalton. You see I feel like the Rams maybe gave him a little bit because they wanted Andy Dalton to stay in the game. The secondary played awful. The defense overall played bad. And I just think that this offense is pretty good. But if this secondary is going to keep doing this is bad.
I will say one thing about the offense is it does not lack playmakers at any of the skill positions. Like, David Montgomery is a legit good running back.
He's good.
Like, people need to he's a very, very good running back. Definitely in the top, I would say top 10, top 12 in the league at this point, as a feature back for any NFL team. Allen Robinson, Darnell Mooney, good receivers there. I like Cole Kmet. I think he's going to be, continue to get better. Offensive line, though, look, you could see, and especially if Peters is, if his injury is a problem, that's going to be another dagger to that already depleted offensive line.
That's the problem when whenever you talk about putting Justin Fields in the game, which is awesome to think about. They put him in a few times, he had the touchdown, but you see this offensive line, it's like, do you trust him at all? Because I do not. It pains me to see this offensive line just get beat up all the time.
Ryan Pace would put together an absolutely dynamite 7-on-7 team. When you just don't have to worry about offensive line, he'd be fucking fantastic. Because, like,
you're so right, Manny.
They're needed every year. It's ridiculous, man, because every season we've been saying this. So yeah, I don't know. You can beat your head into the wall with this guy, but we're definitely stuck with him for a little bit more. I think at least another 2 or 3 years probably at this point. So I don't know. We'll see. I'd like to see Fields sooner rather than later. I think he'd be more effective than Dalton, just with the shoddy offensive line and ability to go downfield. I think Dalton attempted 2 passes over 15 yards, and both were incomplete. Like,
You already see some of the wide receivers getting a little annoyed with everything.
You don't win in the NFL like that anymore. You just don't.
Very true, Maddie. Very true. So we'll see if Justin Fields hopefully gets put more into the offense when they play the Cincinnati Bengals on Sunday at noon, which as we will preview. Yeah, as a favorite, which we will preview on the show, on the podcast here in the next few days. But I'm a little nervous here to think about where the Bears are going. Hopefully they let Justin Fields take over, but we'll see. I've heard a lot of different stories if it's going to take 3 to 4 weeks. I don't think the Bears have that long to save their season. What am I to say, though? Hey, they are in technically.
I was going
to
say, you didn't lose anything in the division, so.
I like that a lot. But let's move on to our Thursday night football picks. We have the Giants going to the Washington football team, D.C., with no Fitzpatrick. I think it's, what is it, Henny?
No, Taylor Heinicke, I think.
Heinicke. Fellas, I'm going Giants +3.5.
I know it's
in Washington, but I don't trust Heinicke, and I think that this Giants team, if Saquon can get going here, if he gets a few more rushes than last week, can get going here on a short week in Washington.
Definitely felt like they were kind of dipping their toe into the whole Saquon Barkley, only 10 carries last week.
They didn't want to rush him back too quickly.
Exactly. And I think that, I don't know, I said this in our preview earlier. I thought that the Giants were going to be improved, and I thought that Washington had a good team. But obviously you throw Taylor Heinicke in there, and it really shakes things up. I think that New York has a pretty solid running backs and wide receivers crew. A lot of this is going to come down to their defense, and I think if their defense is going against Taylor Heinicke compared to a game manager in Ryan Fitzpatrick, you just never know with a guy like Taylor Heinicke. So give me the Giants in that game as well. Plus, I got a +3.5. So,
yeah, that's what I got too. Manny, what you got?
Yeah, I think I'd probably take the Giants as well. I don't really like either team, to be perfectly honest. I don't think either team has a lot of upside for the length of the season in general. But the only thing is Washington's defense, I do think is very talented, and they've got the ability to kind of shut down a quarterback like Daniel Jones. So it's one thing to watch I'll probably side with you guys on the Giants. I just don't feel great about it. I'll just put it that way.
Yeah, it's one of those things with Daniel Jones. Like, yeah, he has his moments, but also, like, you guys have talked about the Bears line. Like, the Giants offensive line is not good either, and he's a kind of quarterback that if things fall apart around him, it could get really ugly in the way that Washington's defense plays. They could make it tough.
Problems are real.
Yeah. So I think it'll be, I don't know. It just doesn't seem like the best week 2 Thursday night game, especially with the state of the Washington football team. But I do think it's going to be, I think that Washington's going to stick in it. I like their money line to dabble a little bit in it, but that game, I think it's going to come down to a something in the late fourth quarter. I think it's going to stay close.
Little tidbit, I do see there's something interesting too with the total. Over is only 41 right now. One thing I want to point out on Action Network, they have their bet percentage at 52% of the bets are coming in on the over, but 80% of the money is coming in on the over. So that means like the heavy hitters and the big spenders are playing the over big time. So interesting to see, keep an eye on there at a low number, 41. Two solid defenses, two questionable offenses. Probably a good way to go with the over. Usually, fade what you think.
I like and that.
There we go with our guy, Maddie, with the picks there. We said Thursday night football. I know it's Giants. It's the Washington football team, but it is NFL. So it's
better football. Than no football.
It's better than no football, Boomy.
Oh,
I love
yeah,
that.
Yeah, for sure.
But as we watch the White Sox right now, it is 3-2 in the bottom of the ninth with the guy in second base. Their magic number while they are playing this game is 7. So they are getting closer and closer to clinching the division. They're just trying to get to the playoffs here, boys. They got like some guys on the IL, maybe just a little bit of rest here, which I understand. They're getting ready for the playoffs, which I love. What do you guys got to say about this White Sox team?
This White Sox team is good, and I don't think they're doing too much in the month of September. They're getting guys back.
Which is totally understandable.
Yeah, they're you know, getting guys healthy. They're figuring out that rotation, especially we've talked, you know, till we're blue in the face about the back end of that rotation and, you know, guys coming out of the bullpen and everything. I think whatever they decide on is going to be okay. I think that offense has enough firepower. You just have to not go cold in the postseason. I mean, you could literally say that about every team because I think the White Sox are one of the best teams. They're the third best record in the American League right now. But if you look at it, I mean, you could flip a coin with them in the Rays at any given day, you know, and kind of put yourself in that. And the Astros kind of the same thing. But, I mean, it's really going to depend on the experience that they have, you know, come postseason because there's not a, you know, a ton of guys on that team that have long postseason experience. Maybe they'll just go out and, you know, kind of play freehand and, you know, just have some fun with it instead of playing super tight like they kind of did last year in the playoffs. So I'm excited to watch this the Sox in October because I do have a future on them to win the World Series. So
I am with you on that, Boomy. I think it's going to be fun to watch this White Sox team in the playoffs. Like I said, just kind of got to get there. Got some guys in the IL. They're just trying to get people healthy, which I understand. Maddie, you got any thoughts on them?
Yeah, I mean, it's like you said, we've been pounding the drum for the like last 6 weeks. I feel like keys, stay healthy, get healthy, you know, keep trying to get on a good, you know, you want to be on a good wavelength going in October. You want to be playing. I don't know about necessarily if it matters if you're playing your quote best ball, but you just want to be in the right mind frame. You want everyone to be in good shape. So I like what they're doing too. They've gone to a 6-man rotation a little bit, stretching out Rodon, giving him an extra day of rest. He's kind of been dealing with some arm fatigue, missed a couple starts here and there the last 3 or 4 weeks. And I think kind of preserving a guy like that and making sure his arm's going to be fresh in October when you're really going to need him is key.
That is very true, Maddie. So you're trying to get everybody healthy for the White Sox for their playoff run. All right, Cubbies, 66-79. They're 66-80 because they lost to the Phillies. And then just Trevor Megill, I don't know how – get rid of him. I cannot stand seeing that guy pitch. But I'm not going to get into that right now. My fun stat for the Cubs, we're going to have some positive vibes. Patrick Wisdom, 26 home runs. Ian Happ, 22 home runs. Wilson Contreras, 18 home runs. Frank Schwindel, 11 home runs. The Cubs have some players, fellas, and we're going to have to play throughout the season. Hopefully, we never see Trevor Megill, whatever, pitch for the Cubs again. I cannot stand that. I cannot believe what the Cubs did tonight. He has a 9-point-something ERA going into this game. It's not like I bet on the Cubs or anything, but, fellas, the Cubs, they cannot stop hitting home runs, though.
Yeah, and on a positive note as well, Zach, Brennan Davis gets called up to AAA yesterday and hits two home runs.
Two at-bats, two home runs. This Cubs
gotta love
in the playoffs, too, league is so looking clutch good.
Clutch gene. Oh, I didn't even realize they were in that. That was a playoff series.
Oh, yeah. So the Cubs overall looking good other than maybe some of the pitching changes at the end of the game. Not going to get more into that. But, fellas, college football week 2 recap. What do we got?
Week 2 wasn't insane. We talked a lot of games in last week's podcast. But, you know, the one thing that jumped out to me, and I know how much you guys love Notre Dame. Notre Dame had got a hell of a fight from Toledo.
I do not like Notre Dame.
I know. I was being sarcastic. But you saw, you know, Notre Dame at home really struggled with a pretty good Toledo team. But I mean, I think we all three can agree we don't hate seeing Notre Dame struggle.
I understand that, but as good of a Toledo team as you want to say, this a Notre Dame team cannot have that problem.
Exactly. If you're going to be a team that wants to say you belong in the Final Four in the college football playoff, you can't be playing tight games with a team from the MAC. And as much as, you know, big MAC guys as me and Maddie are, you got to understand there's a big difference in like upsetting Georgia Tech or, you know, in that kind of realm where you're beating a, you know, a different level team and then playing a tight game when you should be playing, you know, claim to be that you should be playing in the college football playoff. It's just a, you know, a completely different aspect. I didn't hate seeing it. And the upset, I would probably say, of the weekend, one I was very incorrect about, Oregon taking down Ohio State in Columbus. You hate to see it. But, yeah, Oregon, who did not look good in the first week against Fresno State, really brought it against a really good Ohio State team. Did you guys watch any of that one?
Yeah, I was dead wrong about that game. I was dead wrong about Iowa State. I was dead wrong.
Yeah.
About, I was very wrong about badly. Iowa State.
Yeah. I thought Iowa State was going to be a title contender this year. I thought they were every
I thought they at least be Iowa
for the Big 12. Yeah. Dude, I thought this was the year they would smoke Iowa.
I legitimately think, I don't know if it's something, and I'm sure any Iowa fan would say, like, oh, it's because they're playing Iowa and, you know, it's Iowa State. I could legitimately see Iowa State riding the ship and not losing another game until maybe the Big 12 championship.
Could beat Oklahoma.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Like, that's the thing. I don't know. It's just like the psychology.
It's
like, Iowa
is a weird game. It's a very weird game with a weird rivalry. There's so much anticipation for that game where one little misplay and that's the end of the game for them.
Yeah. It's
so I think Iowa State is going to stay in it throughout the season. Not saying they're going to make the playoff at all. But I don't think this one loss is going to shape their season.
Yeah. I think they're going to come out and play all right. I think a lot of things that you said last week,
I think Maddie, Iowa's a good team.
Yeah, I think that's what a lot of people are forgetting. This is not a really bad Iowa.
He's got a very good defense.
Oh, yeah.
Very, very good defense.
Exactly. Another team we just talked about, Oklahoma, who did not look good in week one, really took care of business against a really bad Western Carolina team. 76-0.
You'd hope so.
You don't see a lot of scores like that. But we also talked this one last week. Is Texas back? They are most certainly not back. They got smoked by Arkansas. Who
hey, horns down, fellas. Horns down.
Horns down. And then another one we were kind of excited for looking in the season. Washington and Michigan turned out not to be a good game at all. Washington stinks. They lose week one to Montana. Then Michigan kind of rolls them.
Hey, little known fact, Boomy will be in the Big House next week.
First time ever on Saturday. So it'll be, Washington, I feel bad for our guy Bobby who picked them to win the Pac-12 and they start off 0-2. So that's probably not a great sign of things to come for the Huskies. And then the last one I had of the weekend, we talked a little BYU, Utah. BYU upsets Utah 26-17. Utah, the Utes, definitely not for real. And BYU might not just be, the Zach Wilson magic they had last year. They might actually have something going this year. We'll see as that goes on. Do you guys have any other ones you saw or anything else on the college football slate last weekend?
I don't think I had too much more. There wasn't that many exciting games.
Yeah, and the one I thought was going to be exciting, or well, it was claimed to be an exciting game. I thought it wasn't going to be in the Ohio State-Oregon game and turned out to be one of the best games of the weekend. So I completely misjudged that. Maddie, you got anything else on college football?
No, I think this coming up weekend slate's, I think, a little bit more interesting personally. I think Bama-Florida, look ahead, you know, got that game coming up. You might want to whoa that thing because I think this is a buzzsaw.
I got to get it in now because it could easily be a 50-point route.
I love Bama. If it stays at 14, they throw up two touchdowns in the blink of an eye.
Yeah.
Another team I like this week, too. It's going to be an interesting game. I shouldn't say I like anything gambling-wise yet, but that USC-Washington State game, USC after firing Clay Helton, you know, after 2 weeks. That should have been done. You can make the argument.
Oh, yeah. That should have been done before the season started.
You know, they go up to Pullman, which is never an easy place to play, and they play Washington State. So that should be an interesting game, at least. You know, so there's a good slate. Oklahoma, Nebraska, like you said. Purdue, Notre Dame, like another good one. Miami, Michigan State could be another one to watch. There's some weird gambling trends going on in that one this week too. So I don't know. It's going to be another interesting week. I think Toledo, though, is, you know, coming off like we talked about against Notre Dame last week, 14.5-point favorite at home against Colorado State. I think that might be one of those. Wow, look how they looked on NBC against Notre Dame nationally, and everyone starts betting it. So I don't know. I kind of like Colorado State. Then we'll see where that number sits at the end. But
we will get more into those games, college football week 3 preview on podcast. I think it's episode 114 that me and Boomy will be doing here in the next few days. But Boomy, do you have a wacky web story for us?
I sure do. Let's go to Mexico for today's story. You guys remember El Chapo?
I do.
Maddie?
Yeah.
Everybody remembers El Chapo, right? Well, El Chapo is in federal custody right now for being the biggest drug lord in the world for well over a decade. Was apprehended in like 2015. Whatever. He's in
hell federal. Of a tunnel guy, too.
Mount Rushmore, a tunnel guys. It's Andy Dufresne and El Chapo are at the top two.
One and 1A, right?
Yeah.
No question.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure we could go deeper, but we'll do that at another date.
No, we'll let those two guys go deeper. Hey-o.
Anyway, so he has these mansions throughout Mexico, obviously, with
That's
all
what
of
she
the
said.
Money. All right, I'm going to continue on El Chapo.
Was I late on that one? I'm so sorry.
Thanks for joining. anyway, El Chapo has a house. In 2014, gets raided by the Mexican Marines, which is where, speaking of those tunnels, he escaped from in a trapdoor underneath his bathtub. He has, like I said, since been caught. And now Mexico has this program where they are giving money back or giving back to the people, you know, who are, you know, most largely affected by these crimes. And what they're doing is they are going to do a lottery for El Chapo's house. So there are expected to be, the home is expected to be valued at $183,000. And they're just selling lottery tickets like you would to go to the gas station, and the winner gets El Chapo's house. So if you guys are in Mexico, for anybody that listens to this is in Mexico, go ahead and grab me a ticket. I'll send you a Venmo. Boys, we might have a vacation house if one of us wins the El Chapo mansion. They did tile over the tunnel entrance from the bathroom, but there's nothing a jackhammer can't fix right there. And, you know, then who knows?
I just want to throw this out. It's a pretty good hypothetical, in my opinion. Would you rather buy a house that you know is haunted, or would you rather buy a house that you know El Chapo owned and knows every access point into that house?
Nope. Give me the haunted house. I can bring a priest in.
Whoa, that thing on buying a house from El Chapo is all I'm going to say.
Yeah.
On this one.
Yeah. Give me all the ghosts. I mean, yeah, I can
that's
bring
kind of what I'm thinking. El Chapo, I know, can kill me.
Yeah.
I know a ghost will just likely fuck with me for a long time.
It'll just make your life a little bit more, or, you know, a little extra
a little
miserable.
Keep me on edge.
Not, you know, put a bullet in your head, which is possible. I mean, you know, but guys, you got to assume that El Chapo is going to, you know, he's still got some range down there. He's going to make sure that his guys win this lottery.
I'm good on that one. A sick ass fucking Airbnb.
That would be a no for me.
Zach, you're not going to the El Chapo mansion for vacation?
Nope.
Not even for the gram.
And like, that's what they said though. Like, this isn't
for an Airbnb weekend. Yeah, for sure.
No, you're not.
I'm kind of with you, Zach, in the sense that, like, they say this is one of his most modest homes. It's only
– He wouldn't do it. Maddie wouldn't do it.
I think I would.
They said it's, like, a two-bedroom house. It's
I'm thinking like, the party place, dude. Like, some kind of, like, you know, mansion.
Party place? Yeah,
I was thinking, like, where Tony Montana lived in Starbase.
I want – it's not. I want pools, palm trees. You
That's
know,
not
like
how this works. That's not how this works.
Yeah, I've seen Narcos, dude. Come on.
You make
very good show.
Point.
Very good show on Netflix. But fellas, one more thing before the show gets over with here. Norm MacDonald. If you guys have never seen some of the stuff that this guy has done, just go to Twitter, go to wherever, go to Google,
YouTube,
look it up, look at some videos. Unfortunately, he passed away the other day of a very private battle with cancer at the age of 61, I think. This
right.
is some of the funniest stuff I've seen. If you've never seen any of the stuff that he's done, just look it up on Twitter, look it up on Facebook, look it up on the internet, whatever. It is some of the funniest
Yes.
sarcastic jokes that you just may not understand, but they, for some reason, will make you laugh.
It's the deadpan delivery that he is so known for that is so against the grain of what most people think of, you know, stand-up comedians. And, like, I think, Zach, you're saying all these videos that we've talked privately so many different ones. He did the roast. The one that I'll give is the roast of Bob Saget, and everybody goes up there and it's just X-rated joke after X-rated joke. And Norm MacDonald goes up there for 8 minutes and basically just tells, like, the most G-rated jokes, like, Bob, you're ugly, like stuff like that. And it's just absolutely flawless. If you don't know, you think you've seen Norm MacDonald, probably the biggest role you've probably seen him in, he was in Billy Madison. Everybody's seen that movie, but just an incredible, incredible stand-up comedian, Saturday Night Live, obviously. But yeah, I mean, he was one of the most unique stand-up comedians that I listened to.
Matt, you got anything?
Yeah, this is definitely one of those, thinking back to my youth, he was in a lot of those movies with a lot of the legends of the game, obviously. Like you said, Billy Madison, all the guys from those movies, and then the Saturday Night Live crew. And, he always had those roles in movies that just kind of popped up or kind of, like you said, the it's all in the delivery with him. It was all like the dry humor. The
so sarcastic.
Humor. Super smart guy. It seems like, too, like really intelligent, like kind of a big culture player. It's like, you kind of respect that he probably wanted to deal with his illness and, in his own way. And he just kind of, hope he found peace and everything, too.
Absolutely. Zach, you mentioned all those videos. Did you have one that you've seen in the last couple of days that was your favorite?
I don't know why this one stuck out to me so much, but it's the one where he talks about it's a moth joke.
Yeah.
He does on Conan O'Brien. And I won't go into the whole joke or whatever, but it ends by saying the doctor goes, "But how did you get here? You're so troubled. How did you get here?" And he goes, "I saw the light. The light. It was the light. Because he's a moth."
Classic.
And just the way he said that joke and just some of the stuff. If anything, just go look at Norm MacDonald on Conan O'Brien. And that's some of the funniest stuff. And it's sad that it takes a death for maybe some people to figure out how maybe people were funny or whatever. If you want a good laugh this weekend, make sure you look up some Norm MacDonald stuff. It is some good stuff. But thank you to Boomy at Boomy TCF and Matt Schoolfield at Schools_01 on Twitter for joining me tonight. I am Zach Lilia at Z Lilia TCF. The main page is at Typical_Chicago. Follow us on Facebook or Instagram at Typical Chicago Fans. Go over to the YouTube page, Typical Chicago Fans. Subscribe to the YouTube page. Wherever you get your podcast from, type in Typical Chicago Fans. You will find us on there. Go over to Connect Roasters. Dot com. Get all your coffee needs on there. They got some merch on there. And make sure you follow them on all social medias. Anything else, fellas?
Hey, let's have a beautiful weekend. Enjoy some football. It's the weekend in football, man. What more do you need?
Let's go.
I don't need much more.
We're simple guys.
Let's go. It is the TCF Morning Show, Thursday, September 16th. We love you all.
Peace.